It is a privilege to be with you all this morning, and I am just absolutely pumped about what God would have us do in our time together and how he's going to lead us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love the first Sunday of the month is our family first Sunday. It's a Sunday that we intentionally set aside to have our children with us because they are just as important in worship as you and I as adults sitting here this morning. And we are blessed to have our little worshipers with us here. I want to read for you a letter that I received. And I have to kind of preface this because it's a letter that is from a real person. right? Because if you remember, if you were here a few months ago, I read a letter. And that letter impacted a lot of you. And a lot of you, by the time I got to the end, were really confused because I said, dated September 2017. It was a letter that I read about the impact that our church can have to be a missional community, about how we can connect together with one another and to go forth and forward to spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ into our world. And how we need each other to do that. And it talked about individual people in the church and how that they were impacted and impacting people walking in the door. Well, immediately after that service was over, somebody came walking up to me and they said, I wish I would have wrote that letter. And I said, well, would you do me a favor? Would you write that letter to me? And they said, absolutely. So they spent time and they wrote a letter to me that I want to read to you. I should have brought tissues up with me. I'm a bit of a crier. I know, right? Right, no. And also, too, I just want to share with you, today is my Trinity anniversary. So today marks 5 years of being here at Trinity. So, folks, if you questioned if I was going anywhere, please stop. Now, if you're questioning or hoping that I go somewhere, please stop. That'd be really helpful. That'd be really great. We'd appreciate that. Says, Dear Pastor Steve, I've wanted to write this to you for some time. About 6 months ago, you read a letter in church for a woman named Darcy. As I listened to Darcy give testimony to the amazing experience that being a part of Trinity Nazarene brought to her life, I thought, I should have written that letter like that. As you shared about Darcy's letter, I thought, me too. After you finished reading to the congregation, you told us that it was a letter you had written to yourself, dated September 2017. To give an example of the outcomes of being involved and your desire to truly act on the church's mission. Well, my story isn't as neat as lovely as Darcy's. But it's a real one, imperfect, yet made beautiful. In May of 2015, I walked into Trinity Nazarene for the first time. Jeff Romack invited me. Well, actually, I invited myself to join him. First, I have to tell you about Jeff and me. I had met Jeff a few years before through a friend at work. We ran into each other over the period of 3 years, and Jeff once was a student in a very intensive wellness course that I taught. He was kind, focused, dedicated learner, and I got to know him a little. I knew he was a divorced single dad, an architect, a coach, and a spiritual guy. We would also run into each other from time to time in Wheaton at a yoga studio where I taught classes. We shared a few close friends, and his name popped up from time to time. One time, Jeff told me where he went to church. I told him about my church search. Over a 20-year period, I had visited 25 different churches. Nearly every January, I would start my search and never find a place I wanted to hang my hat. I belonged to my parents' church, St. Margaret Mary Catholic Church in Naperville, where my dad is a deacon and my parents are very involved. My children attended religious education there for a few years, making some of the traditional sacraments. Though I attended regularly, I was seeking a closer encounter with Jesus and a community where I felt at home. I knew people at church, but mostly through my parents. I had never visited Trinity because I thought I was too far from home. By the way, I later learned that it's 8 minutes to get there. Jeff and I continued to bump into each other for a few years, though I never considered that he would one day be the love of my life. At the time of our initial meetings, I was going through a long, painful divorce from an extremely abusive man. The last thing that I was thinking about was a future relationship and definitely didn't believe that I deserved that type of love. Fast forward a few years later, many things had happened. The story of getting through the crazy, awful storm of my divorce does read like an unbelievable tragedy. Something I felt that I should share is that my ex-husband is an atheist. His battle is against organized religion, and he prayed against organized religion, and he is angry. So even within the walls of my own home, there was turmoil each time that I prayed before meals. I secretly blasted K-Love on the radio in my car and knew all the words to the pop Christian songs, only to change the station to hip-hop or to NPR when I pulled in the garage. I lived in fear of the wrath I'd suffer if he discovered my Christian music. He attacked me verbally for praying with the children and worked hard to convince me over a period of 10 years that there was no God. It was a challenging road which led to fear, sadness, and a constant underlying doubt that God was really there. God kept showing up in my life, though. Through people and experiences, as I navigated a dangerous and uncertain road, over and over, through a therapist, a lawyer, a judge, my family, friends, students, and countless strangers, I found God was present. I tried to be enthusiastic in my church life, but felt lonely and disconnected. My children started rebelling against prayer and didn't really want to go to church or religious education because they had heard words of their dad. Throughout the years, I became faithful to prayer, devotion, regular attendance to church, and praying with my children, even though the long trial of divorce. Once the divorce finally settled and I praised God for helping me through, one evening I got on my knees and I prayed this prayer. Hey God, I know this may be a lot to ask, especially since you brought me through this horrible time with strength and courage. If you would see that it would be right for me and you, could you someday send a loving Christian man into my life? You know, Lord, in about 10 or more years, or when I'm 60, in my 60s, and also, could you please help me find the church community that I'm longing for? I had journaled this prayer. True story, less than 48 hours, Jeff Romack came into my life. I had not seen him or heard of him for a couple of years, and then there he was. Our relationship blossomed, and a friendship grew that was healing, fun, and shared interests, and a strong desire to connect with Jesus together. Our love story is more than I could have ever imagined, and I am certain that God laughed when I told him I needed about 10 years. I fought God in the past of my life, my relationship with Jeff, questioned God, and doubted that this man, Jeff, could really love me, a sinner, brokenhearted, and still searching for Christ. Why not? This wasn't part of my plan. Jeff and God waited patiently for me as I continued to seek answers to my questions. So back to Trinity in May of 2015. I walked into the church for the first time, and these are the words that I heard God say. Your search is over. You are home. The voices of Darren and his worship team rang with the depth of music that I had only heard in my heart. The voices and the instruments led me to a place of joy as I sang out to the Lord. I watched Steve and the band play his guitar and smile as he worshiped. The women at the pianos raised their arms to the Lord, and the voices of the singers were like angels. A woman in front of us, who I now know to be Lucy, stood and danced for Jesus because she felt led to. I watched people lift their arms, hug each other, clap their approval, and shout amen. For the first time in my life, I felt the Holy Spirit moving around me, and I heard the message as God's words for me. Kaylee, your wife, prayed that day. Her passion and deep connection to her words seemed to flow from the Spirit, and it stunned me. She prayed for other churches and missionaries around the world. Many of the churches were ones I had visited, and I had felt the spirit of unity. A couple of young men who were graduating from high school and soon to go off to college were called forward with their parents. Most of the congregation came to the altar and laid hands on these young men and offered prayer together. I had never seen anything like this before. Such deep prayer and love surrounding these young men made me weep. I felt an excitement, and I knew this was exactly where I was meant to be. For months, I came to Trinity every other week when my children visited their dad. I called it Jeff's Church. And I took my children to our Catholic parish on the other Sundays. When I visited Trinity, Pastor Tony would shake my hand and he would welcome me. You, Pastor Steve, invited Jeff and me for tea, and we talked for a couple of hours, including me asking my big question, what is a Nazarene anyway? By the way, in my many visits to other churches, I had never talked with the pastor. Jeff introduced me to Steve and Cheryl LeGrand, and we made an instant friendship. Melissa Henry invited me for coffee, and we warmly shared our stories. After being a churchgoer for my entire life, I had never been in a church or a group or had forged deep relationships. I began to meet the people who sat around Jeff's usual pew in church and met a few folks Jeff didn't even know. I met Pastor Caleb and completely enjoyed his preaching and getting to know him. I met Ray, who also practices yoga, and looked forward to connecting with him after service. I met Summer Halsey and so appreciated her warmth, welcoming, and her quiet humor. Last Christmas Eve, I paired up with Bonnie Workman to pray and felt her kindness and empathy as we, formerly strangers, prayed for my children who were not with me that night. Many church members began to introduce themselves and looked forward to my visit, and I looked forward to my visit to Trinity. I started to tell all my friends and neighbors about this holy place. Eventually, one Sunday, I told my children, "It's time to try Jeff's Church together." By this time, my three children, now ages 12, 10, and 7, had grown to love Jeff. That first week, Pastor Sally invited them to the children's program. Hesitantly, they huddled together as they followed Pastor Sally and Brian to the basement. They returned after church with smiles and goodbye hugs from Pastor Sally and fist bumps from Brian. They wanted to come back, and for the first time in 12 years, they were excited about church. They wanted to come. They came home singing and doing the motions to the Fruits of the Spirit song taught to them by the beautiful Miss Lucy. They shared Bible stories with Jeff and me, and they started their own worship services for us on some of the Sundays that they didn't attend church while at their dad's. Let me say that again. Her kids started to put together their own worship services on the weekends that they were at their dad's. In their home, and their audience was three. Jeff, the person who's reading the letter, who I'm not going to mention until the end, and Jesus. We all know who it is, though. I got to find my place again. They share Bible stories. Pastor Sally would lovingly welcome them back each week. My children invited some of their friends and neighbors to church. Jeff and I attended Maranatha with Hal Perkins, and I began to grow deeper in my faith. I brought a few books, including If Jesus Were a Parent, and began to pray for my children even more. I worried each night that they left to be with their father on that opposite weekend. Over and over through the music and the weekly sermons, I heard the words, "Trust Jesus. Cast away your fears. He is the God of miracles." I began to pray over my children before they left for school and before the visits with their dad. I learned to let God take care of them when I am not there. After one of the sessions with Hal, when my children were in the kids program, my son, then only 6, prayed on stage in the microphone with one of the college leaders from Olivet. I began to see God working in the lives of my children through the programs at Trinity. The teachers knew my children. My children started to lead our evening prayer at our mealtime. We began to worship together even outside of the church, and our home became God-centered and more alive. Last spring, Ruby Rivellis, whom I had met at church and was always very friendly, invited me to a women's retreat, Hearts at Home. I told her, maybe. As she joyfully encouraged me to come, I met Ann Heinrich that day, and she also told me about the conference. Amy Hill, who I had met before and really liked, also asked me to come. My maybe was a polite way of saying, no way. I am not ready for this. After Ruby reached out to me a couple of times online and at church, I told her that I would think about it. As the new girl, I wasn't sure I really wanted to go. I already had many friends outside of the church, though only a couple were Christians. And I didn't know I wanted to invest this time away from my children. Well, Ruby was impossible to shake. She wasn't pushy, but she was super fun, down to earth, and lovable. So I signed up knowing that she had my back if it felt awkward. If Summer wouldn't have connected with me a few times before that weekend, I may have backed out. Melissa Henry drove me to the conference in Peoria and took me under her wing. I not only loved the conference, I ended up loving the women of Trinity. Anne hugged me, and we danced together during worship time. Summer and I shared stories, and all the women, Amy, Robin, Melissa, Brittany, and a few others, made me feel so welcome. I learned not only practical teachings from the conference, but I felt welcomed. I was inspired by the faith of these women, who now were my friends. Robin drove me home, and we swapped stories. Over and over that weekend, I saw the love of God and the firm commitment that these amazing women had to each other. After that weekend, Anne had hugged me at each and every service, or has hugged me in each and every service. It is one of the things that I look forward to on Sundays. She invited me to the art room in her home called the Grace Room. She shared her faith and shined truth on my doubts through her knowledge of the Word. God's healing grace had been around me as this woman, so wise and spiritually mature, nurtured me. Though we are fairly close in age, she mothered me and made me feel cared for. I realized in all this time of caring for my children, my family, my students, my clients, and my friends, I had not always put my needs as priority. I began to pray about this. I knew that my prayer life, my devotions, and my worship time were pleasing to God, but I knew I was lacking because I hadn't read the Bible. I was able to share with Anne, and I asked her if she would mentor me a little to the point and point me in the right direction. Early this fall, I attended a women's gathering at Kathy Lowen's house, and I met another 20 or more women from Trinity. We had a great time. We laughed, told stories. I shared that I now consider Trinity my church, not just Jeff's church. I met Kathy that night for the first time, and she told me about a life group that she was starting with her husband in a few weeks about Christian parenting. I told her I might be interested. I gave her a maybe, too, unsure if I could commit. Kathy sent a text to re-invite me and suggested that Jeff take the class with me. She was so convincing and kind, encouraging in an encouraging way, and I just liked her so much that we joined Kathy and Randy's group. Jeff and I completed the first 6 weeks of the program, and together we are signed up for the next session to start later this month. This class has changed the way that I have looked at parenting. We have been able to implement strategies and new practices together with our own children. We gave my children godly names, and I have seen them change just through the teachings in these first 6 weeks. Their behavior is better, I am more patient, and even my youngest sleeps on his own after guidance from Kathy and Randy. I have implemented new practices in my home, and this group has made Jeff and I grow closer in our relationship. We pray for our children together, and I know my three have said that they see and feel changes. We are all thriving as we practice life-giving words. I hope someday that we will be able to share some of these teachings with Jeff's grown children and grandson. Around the same time as the life group signups, Anne and a few women invited me to join the women's Bible study, which started this past fall. I was a little hesitant when I learned that the name of the course was Wife of Noble Character. I made some jokes about this being my least important subject at the moment, being a wife, but Anne and Melissa introduced me again to Kathy Lowen and the Bible study leader. I prayed about it, shifted my work schedule, and I joined the class. Two important things have happened to me in this study. The most important is that I am in God's Word each day, so I do my homework. Before the study, I didn't even own a Bible. I had bought a Bible for myself after coming to Trinity, but the print was too small, even with reading glasses, so I gave it to a friend. I used my cell phone to follow some of the church Bible readings, but I was uncommitted. Though I had spent 12 years in Catholic education and attended a lot of masses, I hadn't ever studied the Bible. Each week at Trinity, you offered the pew Bibles as a gift. One week before the Bible study, I took one home. As I began to do the daily assignments, I heard God's words about love, commitment, marriage, and womanhood. I truly cannot get over what a good book the Bible is. What a gift. Everything I had been searching for is right there in print. Though written so long ago, so many of the questions are being answered. The other things about this study is that I don't always like it, though I know it's good for me. It has put me into a place where I have had to look at some of the big challenges from my past hurts, truths, and I thought were already healed. It had been painful, but yet has put me face to face with God's word, which has been acting as a healing balm, completely ripping off my bandages and allowing my wounds to breathe. The other important part of the study for me is it has solidified my relationship with Jeff. It softened me, made me more loving, forgiving, and committed. It has made me realize that God wants me to love Jeff and that he sent Jeff to me. I have allowed Jeff to lead me spiritually, which I would have seen as a weakness in the past. God is working in our relationship, and we are trusting that the Lord wants us to be together. I am building the skills to be a very noble wife someday, with a winky face emoji. I have come to really appreciate each woman in the study and love hearing how God is working in their lives. Maggie, Mary, Patricia, Anne, Melissa, and the other women sharing wisdom and are examples of Jesus' love. They are an example of Jesus' love for us. Kathy is patient and a wise leader who keeps us on track but continuously affirms and commends us for doing the work that allows us to grow through the study. Last month, I had a cervical spine fusion surgery that turned out to be a little bit more extensive than expected. When you came to pray with me before my surgery, I knew that God was watching over me. You helped me to find peace as they wheeled me down to the operating room. I finally truly surrendered my life to Christ. I wasn't sure what the outcome of my surgery would be, but I was certain that God was with me the whole time. Through my recovery, many people from Trinity have reached out to offer support. A few of my friends from the Bible study visited, and Benny called to offer meals for my family. I was so grateful for the answered prayers, and I continually get stronger. Thank you for being there. During my time at Trinity, I've prayed that God will help my children grow more in the children's program at Trinity, and that my 12-year-old, now in seventh grade, would open herself up to new friends at church. Last Sunday, a group of boys and girls, including Peyton, Susanna, Evelyn, Parker, and Seth, invited my two younger children to join them for lunch after service. They also invited them to come that evening for Pioneer Club. A couple of seventh graders invited my older daughter to hang out at lunch, and at the time, she wasn't ready, but now she doesn't want to miss. My younger kids had a great time with their new buddies at Pioneer Club and can't wait until next week. Pastor Kaylee gently invited my oldest daughter to come next time and encouraged me to be patient. By the way, your wife of noble character, Pastor Kaylee, has touched my heart with her prayers. I am always happy after running into her after church with her good humor, genuine interest, and encouragement. This Sunday, Jeff and I will join the new Christian education class on strengthening your marriage before it starts. Wow. Now that's a great topic, and only God knows where this new class will take us. I could continue to give more examples of my experiences and the people at Trinity who have helped me in my journey towards a deeper relationship with Christ. I'm ashamed to admit that I used to think it sounded kind of hokey when Christians said that they were saved or born again, but I humbly and gratefully fall to my knees. I am saved. I am born again. The Trinity Nazarene community has helped me along in this exciting journey that has just begun to unfold. I now have the courage and conviction to share my faith with my friends and my family outside of the church. We are committed to giving back and excited to be a part of Trinity Nazarene in 2017. Infinite gratitude and love, Mary Ellen Schoenjohn. folks. That letter sums up our entire series. That letter proves to me more and more that we've got to be connected together. Because people's spiritual lives are in the balance. People's spiritual health is in the balance. Our loving, kind, and graciousness to see somebody new walk through the doors or to make that first initial step of stepping through and sitting down in a pew. It's the hardest distance that a person will travel on a Sunday morning. And we have the opportunity to come alongside them and to love them into the kingdom. We don't do the work of transformation, but we become vessels of transformation. We don't save anybody, but we partner with Christ to be the one who's going to speak tenderly and lovingly and caringly into people who are far from God. It's not by accident that Mary Ellen experienced what she experienced. And what we actually see is not just our vision statement coming true, reaching people to equip people to reach people, but our core values as well. You see, you may not remember this or you may not have heard this, but I want to share with you our core values is a pathway to kingdom building. It's a pathway to a deeper relationship with Christ. You see, all of us as we sit in here on Sunday, we're all a part right now of worship and prayer. Well, all of us are in this pool called worship and prayer. This is the largest part of our core value. It's where we're going to have the most people and the potential to have even some of the biggest impact. But see, there's this next step in the process as well. The pathway goes to connect. For connect, for us, it's fellowship. It's life groups. The reason why Pastor Tony stands up here every Sunday and he says your next step is to get into a life group. It's not because we just want to see life groups grow. It's because we know the impact a life group will have in your life. That's the reason why we tell you each week. Because we know what it'll do to you. We know the outcomes. We know that it'll get you deeper into God's word. We know that it'll help build and strengthen your prayer life. We know that when things go wrong, the church can't be the answer, but a person in your life group can. You see, we do our best to try to catch everybody, but people fall through the cracks. That's why we need to make the big church smaller so that if you miss a couple of weeks, darn it, if I'm not paying attention, but if you miss a couple of weeks of life group, guess what? You're going to get follow-up. You're going to get loved. You're going to get grace. You're going to receive mercy. You're going to have a person who's praying for you, who understands what you're going through and can love you in the midst of it. But we can't stop there because after this, after we go from worship and prayer to connect, which is fellowship, then the desire is to connect you to the next step, which is grow, discipleship. Now, I used to always think that grow, even for me, was just all about discipleship, and it's really not. It's more than that. You see, we want to see people grow in your relationship with Christ through your giving and generosity. When you start giving to the church, you are going deeper in your spiritual commitment to God, not the church. When you start to realize that God is the Lord of your finances and you start to give generously and you start to submit your finances to God, all of a sudden you see this great awakening happen in you, and it has nothing to do with the church. Stop thinking that when you give, you're giving to the church, because you're not. This is the vessel that God chooses you to do it through. But boy, you are committing to God. I have seen many of you, from my vantage point, experience this new life in just your giving. And I can tell you that it has grown you. Another aspect of grow is baptism. We want to see people baptized. We want to see people who have made a faith commitment to Jesus Christ who are far from God, and we want to see them be baptized so that they too can experience what it's like to symbolically experience the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are a resurrected people. We get to participate in Christ's death and resurrection. I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but he lives in me. May the result of your life, your conversations, your heart, your attitude, may the result of those conversations be because Christ lives in you. And then we go to serve. Now, here's the coolest thing about Trinity. Our congregation, probably the two largest gatherings of people that we have, if we looked at our core values and we said, where are our people? We would say that worship and prayer is number one. And the truth is, serve is probably number two. Because, you know, I'm not saying that we're not growing, and I'm not saying that we're not experiencing discipleship or connecting and in fellowship with life groups. But what I'm helping us to understand is that we get the point of what it means to serve as the hands and feet of Jesus. I want to brag on you and encourage you to keep serving. Because here's the thing, when you start to serve in ministry, discipleship will happen. All of a sudden, you're going to desire to want to connect. When you get on the other side of a house that you're building with someone else, and you're trusting them sometimes with your life, if they hold the ladder and you're 12 feet in the air, trust me, relationships are being built, right? So serving is another aspect. It's a pathway. You come in at worship and prayer. You connect into life groups. You find out, where is discipleship going to be happening for me? We have Christian education classes. And the purpose of our Christian education classes is to equip people to reach people. It's a place where you can grow deeper in your relationship with Christ. It's a place where you can go deeper in your study, your knowledge of who He is and His Word. It's a place to raise questions and to talk about it with other believers and other people in the church. So we have, and then serve. And then our last pathway, the banner that stands in the back. And guess what? I love the fact that it was a janitor who came up with the idea of us putting the banner in the back. Many of you don't know, you've never had a conversation with Bob Fry. You don't remember Bob Fry. Maybe some of you do. But as we were trying to figure out where in the world are we going to hang all these banners, Bob goes, Pastor, you should put the Go banner in the back. And I said, Bob, that's crazy. And he said, no. He says, because people need to be reminded that as they go, they take what they learned and they utilize it during the week. And so that banner, when I'm preaching to you, guess what's staring me in the face? Go, go. Go, go. Don't keep it here. You can't keep it here. We will neuter the gospel if we just maintain it in the four walls of the church. We will stifle the kingdom growth if we just look at it as something that I gain for myself within the four walls of the church. It has to go further than here. It has to not only have heart impact for you, but then that heart impact has to start doing something with it as you walk. And as you go, and as you rise, and as you sleep. It's got to be more than that. So we have that Go banner, is to go. And the coolest thing is, it's reaching people, to equip people, to reach people. And then you say to yourself, okay, Pastor, I get it now. What do I do when I get to the end of the pathway? Grab somebody, and bring them with you, and you lead them through. And then you go, what do I do then? Then you grab somebody else and you bring them with you and you lead them through. And all of a sudden you see this kingdom transformation that happens, not just in our community, but in the communities where you live, the communities where you work, the communities where you worship, the communities where you shop. All of a sudden the kingdom starts to advance. I am not interested in building a castle. I am not interested. The Trinity is not Pastor Steve's castle. I have zero interest in building castles. I want to see God's kingdom move. I want to see lives transformed. We need each other. We need each other. You don't get stories of transformation like we heard this morning without people needing each other. You see, the Holy Spirit was the bond, was the glue that glued all of that together. See, God had immersed Mary Ellen in a community. And my prayer as the pastor, as much as I desperately pray to God, is that this community would rise up. and would take on the challenge of seeing lives transformed for his glory, not your pastor's. That's what we get to do. We get to be a part of that. You get to be a part of the kingdom work. How cool is that? I am destined to not preach this message. This is the dang blasted message that I was supposed to preach on January 15th, and I got a kidney stone, and Pastor Caleb came up and hit a home run. So this morning, I'm looking through my Bible, and I'm going, where is that message? Where in the world is that message? I was like, I know it was in here. I think I even have notes. I didn't even get a chance to print it out. Because by 8:45 that morning, I was going on my way to the hospital. But it's a good one. Let me wrap up with this. Y'all, the Holy Spirit can do more in 5 minutes than we can do in 5 years. The Holy Spirit has already communicated to you what you need to hear this morning. You don't need more of me. You really don't. You really don't. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I want to spark that and ignite that passion within you. Some of you, you may feel like this morning that you are far from God. You might feel like that this morning. I want you to hear me tell you. He is closer than you think. You are not far from God because you can't get away from him. You might feel like you're far from God, but he is closer than you think. He is with you. And let me tell you, I'm putting everybody in this room on notice. This kingdom culture will be a culture that will love you and walk with you and journey with you. And we will desperately do our best to connect you into life-giving opportunities and places where you can grow deeper in your commitment to Christ, to his word, to prayer. That's what we're going to do. And I'm putting everybody in here on notice because that's what we're going to do. I believe that's what we've been doing, but now it's going to be overt. It's going to be way on purpose. We are not going to shy away from the fact that we desperately want to reach people, to equip people, to reach people. I know there's a lot of people who say, I don't know what that means. That's okay. That's okay. Because guess what? You're in the middle of it. We want to equip you. Some of you all are so talented enough that you can be up here doing this. And I believe that God is going to call many of you out into his service. I believe that. I believe that. All of this is not smoke and mirrors. Our core value is not something that we all got in a tiny room and we said, how can we manipulate people? How can we figure out a nice marketing strategy in order for us to communicate what Trinity is about? All of this is intentional, and it comes directly from Acts 2. Acts 2 tells us these words. Verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, to prayer. All of these things. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything that they had. They sold their property and their possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day. Then they met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord, everybody say the Lord. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Folks, when we start to live this out, the result of it is salvation for those around you. That's the byproduct. When you commit to yourself to live this out. Some of y'all, you have a story. Some of you, maybe this morning you're going, I wish I would have wrote a letter. Can I encourage you? Write the letter. Write the letter. You know why? You have no idea the impact your testimony will have on the life of someone else. I agree with Greg Crochelle. He's a pastor of a large church in Edmond, Oklahoma. And he says this, if simply going to church is your plan, you're missing out on the best parts the church has to offer. If that's your plan, just coming to church and showing up on Sundays and checking it off your box, you are missing out on the best parts that the church has to offer. For me this morning, I want to just close, and we're going to have a time of communion, which I cannot think of an absolutely perfect way for us to end our service this morning. You see, communion is something that is so central and center to why we gather together. It's a remembrance of what Christ did for us. Remember what he said to his disciples? Now that I've washed your feet, he challenged them to then go and wash the feet of those around them. Communion is a reminder that not only did he sacrifice his life, but he washed our feet. And as we partake in that communion, we remember that we are part of the Great Commission. We are part of the kingdom movement and kingdom culture to see God do what only God can do, but through you and me. So, I love the fact, and I just want to get a couple of verses in. I'm going to close with a story, and then we're going to have communion. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Nazarene Theological Seminary professor Tom Noble reminds us that this verse is not written to an individual. It's written to a community. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We tend to take that scripture and we look at it and we put the personal perspective onto it. May he sanctify us personally. But the reality is, God doesn't call us just to be individually sanctified. He desires for the church to be wholly sanctified. For the community, the body of believers banded together to become sanctified wholly as the body of Christ. That is one of our number one most important things that we can do as the body of Christ. It's to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's fire. And to submit ourselves to be a holy people, sanctified by God. Amen? So, there's a story. And Andrew, you can go ahead and start playing. Just be careful what you play. I might start singing it. D.L. Moody. It's a story about D.L. Moody. He shows up at this house. And it's the home of a family that had missed going to church a couple of Sundays. They hadn't been there in a while. And the husband was prepared to debate the great D.L. Moody about how he didn't have to go to church. His argument was, I believe that I can be just as good a Christian outside the church as I can be inside. That's what the man told Moody. Moody didn't take his coat off. He took his hat off. Moody simply walked over to the fire that had been blazing in their home. And he walked over and he took a pair of tongs and he reached over and he grabbed a hot ember, a hot coal out of that fireplace. And he pulled the hot coal out and he placed it on the hearth. Didn't say a word. Moody and that gentleman stood there and they watched that coal get darker and darker and colder and colder. Moody took his hat, put his hat on. He looked at the gentleman, and he simply said, I'll see you on Sunday. You see, we have the opportunity to stoke the refiner's fire in this place together. Each one of us are coals in the Lord's fire. And when we are united together, there is power. There is flame. There is fire. We sung about it this morning. We get to be God's lighthouse, But here's the truth. When we're scattered and we're separated and we're not connected together, we become individual coals that may or may not be able to get a little bit warmer off of the coal next to you. But the truth is, until you've committed to be together, committed to take on the kingdom mission, committed to see what God can do in you and through you and with you, then all of a sudden those embers come together and they unite and they excite a fire that we can't even quench. Folks, I want you to look at the person next to you. You already know what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say it twice because I want you to deeply, deeply look at the person next to you and tell them, I need you. I need you. Look at me. Look at me. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need to know that the coal next to me is going to burn passionately and on fire so that we together can spark a flame that we can't extinguish. I need to know that the church is committed to taking the kingdom mission into the world because we get to do that. If we're separated, if we're not connected, if we, you know, there doesn't mean that we're all going to sing Kumbaya every Sunday we show up. It doesn't mean that everything is just going to go splendidly and life's not going to happen or get hard. But what it means is not only do you have a Savior who will walk with you, you have a brother and a sister in Christ who will walk with you. Tonight is the greatest social event in the world. You realize this, right? The Super Bowl is the greatest social event in the world. More people watch the Super Bowl than anything else throughout the entire year. Some of you are going to parties tonight. That's awesome. Bring people with you. Some of you, maybe tonight, you need to make a different decision because of right now, you're saying to yourself, you know what? I want to connect with people. I want to connect with my neighbors. I want to connect with people who maybe are far from Jesus, and I'm not going to cram Jesus down their throat. I'm just going to show up and watch the game and allow the Holy Spirit and God to do the rest. We have the opportunity to see what God can do through a faith community who is committed to loving God, loving each other, and serving the world. Reaching people to equip people to reach people. I'm going to invite my ushers to come and to participate in communion. And this morning, we're so blessed to have parents and children that are going to be serving communion for us this morning. I invite you, mom and dads, to talk about this with your kids. If they've come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, if Jesus is the Lord of their life and they can communicate that, then we invite them to participate in communion. So let us now go humbly before the throne of grace and to listen to what God is speaking in and through us.